And some water, so we says, well, how do we save our water? And 50 to 60 years ago, we put it under irrigation, put our land under irrigation. What has eventually resulted is that Fertile Valley, which is raising contemporary crops, is now devoid of much of the natural foods that were there. And it is the natural foods are an intricate tie to the culture, no different than the languages. And I appreciate also Ted Chamberlain's thoughts, wherein the laws that were given to the indigenous peoples dealt clear down to the smallest microcosm. The institutions that need to be advised from here on are perhaps the educational process. The present method is set to assimilate. As I mentioned in my first talk 2 days ago, the textbooks must be changed. The attitudes must be approached differently towards the preservation of a culture, quote unquote. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak of visions, to speak of rights, of as someone mentioned perhaps in a flip way a couple of days ago, the rights of rocks. They were perhaps chastising the environmentalists for going overboard in many ways. But let us step back, take a couple of steps back, and look at the indigenous world, that is, look at other indigenous countries where corporations have taken all the resource they can out of the land and then moved, but they have also allowed these people to become dependent upon a different way of life. And then when they say, well, how did we live here for the last 10,000 years? Let's go back that way. But when they try, the resource is not there to support that cultural way of life. Which brings me again back to my chastisement of the
also just indicate that the North Slope Borough was incorporated as a first-class borough 1st July 1972. A home rule charter was adopted by the borough on 30th April 1974. The borough is the regional local government of Northern Alaska with mandatory powers of taxation, assessment, education, planning, and zoning. Within its boundaries are 8 Inupiat Eskimo communities, population 4,693, 7 military installations, population 193, and Prudhoe Bay Resource Development District, population 7,843. The borough encompasses 88,281 square miles of land and nearly 800 miles of Arctic coastline, constituting 15% of the state, and is the largest municipality in the U.S. I got the impression that Mr. Dubé was addressing his remarks to you, Mr. Lerner, and seemed most supportive of what you had said yesterday. Do you want to add anything?
I shall, but I'm not going to now. One of the few things I heard about Indians before I got here, and maybe it's apocryphal, was that in those negotiations between whites and Indians in the eastern United States, when the whites made a proposal, it was regarded as rude to respond to someone's proposal on the same day that he heard it. It would suggest that you were flippant and took it casually. If you slept on it, then you showed that you had thought about what was saying rather than just sort of giving something off the top of the head. I don't know that I will sleep on it, but I want to think about what you said some more before I respond.
Just before we adjourn then for lunch, Ralph Johnson, did you want to say anything about Mr. Dubé's explanation of the genesis of notions?
Is lost, but it has also created a jurisdictional nightmare. And what I am worried about is the frightening parallel between ANCSA and its very limited restrictions on stock and et cetera, and the General Allotment Act and what happened. And if I were to guess without having all the facts available to me on the situation in Alaska, well, let's put it this way. I'm very frightened at what's going to happen, and I think if something is not done before 1991, many of the visions that I've talked about will become geometrically harder of achievement because the tribes in the lower 48 who were submitted to allotment have not yet, and I doubt ever will, recover from it.
Could I ask you a question? Mr. Gottschalk, when a reservation was when the reserve was allotted, carved up into allotments for each adult male, you said the surplus was then available for sale to the general public. Do you mean that if if once there had been allotments to all the male adults in the tribe, that didn't take up all the land they had, then the surplus was available?
That's right.
Oh, I see.
I mean, allotments were not just issued to the adult male, but that was the whole purpose of the Allotment Act, was to free up those quote-unquote excess lands.
So that the lands were lost to Indian ownership through sale of the surplus, and then by one means and another through assignment of the allotments in fee.
That's right.
Yeah. And Mr. Jim?
If I may elaborate a little further. And I appreciate very much Mr. Gottschalk's analysis of the General Allotment Act, the Dawes Act of 1887. To be somewhat frighteningly specific, many of our people, we still hear the stories of non-Indians getting some Indian drunk. And the next morning he wakes up with money in his pocket and his thumbprint on a piece of paper, which is in the possession of the non-Indian, and said, "You sold me your land last night." The jurisdictional nightmare should be elaborated on somewhat, wherein land that went out of trust status because of the General Allotment Act, since 83 to 80, continuously haunts and plagues many of the tribes in the lower 48. The enforcement of certain types of laws on the fee patent, the checkerboard of the reservation, is very difficult. And in regard to the allotment of 80 acres, or if it was in a supposedly semi-worthless area, like for instance, the area I grew up in was in a canyon, and the mainstream looks at that canyon as rock, sagebrush, semi-worthless land, so instead of 80, let him have 120. Expand it a little bit. Or if it's way out there in the wilds in the timbered area, let's give them 160 to make up for the distance. But there was so much surplus land there left, and not enough Indians, not enough Yakimas to give land to. So we had visitors from the coast, from the Nez Perce, from the Coeur d'Alenes, from the Colville, from the Warm Springs, the Umatillas, that were living on our land. And so they gave them allotments, which creates another problem. And I'm sure somebody will address this problem one of these days, the inheritance problem that comes along with that. And it's very complex. And again, I agree with Kim that it's somewhat frightening. Thank you.
David Case.
Yeah, Kim, I wonder if you could be a little more specific about the relationship you see between the pattern of difficulties with the Allotment Act, and particularly the airship issue, and the Claims Act. And I guess, are you talking about the analogy between allotments and stock in the corporations or something else?
Yeah, that what I'm talking about, I guess the overriding analogy is that there's a time certain at which the Indian interests are fair game. And you will be, if it stays the way it is, I think people will look back with grudging admiration at the ability of white society to get huge hunks of that in amazingly short periods of time. I think it's an emergency.
Let me just carry this a little bit further. Suppose the stock were perpetually restricted, but could be passed only as it is now by inheritance. What, if anything, would be the consequences of that?
Well, you get me into an area that I really not that capable of talking about, because I think it gets into the area that Coulter has raised and many others about what is the ultimate vision. I don't know if this is even the ultimate system that they want. All I'm saying is if you can't come up with an ultimate system by 1991, certainly some type of continuation of the restriction, it buys you some time. As far as it has nothing to do with the afterborn situation, which I think would seem to me as an outsider is an extremely serious problem. And to me, that's going to require more than just a slight modification of some time periods. Obviously, there's, to me, there's a major overhaul needs to be done. I'm worried about the impending time periods, and I don't know. I think maybe all types of strategies, not just in the sense that they've been talked about earlier, but in the sense of time-wise, all different levels of strategy need to be pursued, short range, midterm, and long range. What the specifics of those are, I mean, that's where I agree with the observation that in the long term, perhaps lawyers should be latecomers to the whole thing. Lawyers cannot be latecomers to the 1991 problem because it's here right now.
In the case of the allotments is the consequence of the lands being restricted and passed by airship.
Okay, well, it's not as analogous in that situation because stocks are more easily divisible. But the what has happened is a whole new set of problems that have also given rise to lawsuits called secretarial transfers. You end up with a piece of land with maybe each person owning 1/64th interest, and so what do you do? So Congress passed an act that said, well, the secretary, upon application of the heirs, or if one heir was found to be incompetent, not in the mental sense, then he could sell the allotment. And so many of those have been sold without the application of the heirs, and there's many lawsuits brewing in the lower 48 at this very moment based on that. There have also been provisions passed saying, I can't remember the precise formula, but if a piece of land is of a certain size, you know, a small size, if its income-producing ability is very small, it automatically escheats to the tribe. And so now there are lawsuits by individual Indians suing over that, arguing that that statute is unconstitutional.
Getting the land. And I think it's imperative on the parts of all concerned to look with vision in rectifying this before it gets too late.
Well, I think, Walter Parker, the last word this afternoon.
Just as a quick add-on to that, of course it was in the overview statement, at least one of the drafts, one of the business leaders in Alaska made it quite clear that he felt the business community should get behind the act because the land would be in private hands, ergo transferable. And as a brief comment on the allotments, and I've been waiting for somebody who's been more involved in the last few years in allotments in Alaska and myself to speak up, but nobody's come forward. Are probably around 8,000 allotments filed in Alaska, only probably less than 1,000 of which have been processed. Most were filed immediately prior to the passage of the act on the fear of Alaska Legal Services and many Alaska Natives that the act would not pass, therefore get some land while it could be gotten. And those are still on the books, and whether there is a major problem or not depends, you know, on how vigorously the applicants want to pursue their rights.
Yes, just following up on what Mr. Parker said, there is a point of view in Alaska that the passage of native lands from the hands of the native corporations, that is, if the corporations come under the control of non-natives, and thus the land under the control of non-natives. That, nevertheless, is entirely in keeping with the purposes of the Act, because the Act was really an event in the mighty struggle between the state of Alaska and the federal government to bring federal lands under state jurisdiction. And by that reasoning, and it's quite explicit and regarded by many, I'm sure, as perfectly legitimate, by that reasoning, the land held by Alaska Native corporations today is land in private hands under state jurisdiction. What was formerly federal land is now in private hands under state jurisdiction. If the corporations cease to be controlled by Native persons and their land ceases to be controlled by Native persons, it is nevertheless still land in private hands under state jurisdiction. That's a view expressed last year by Governor Hickel, who was, I believe, the Secretary of Interior at the time of ANCSA, in
just before. Just before, I guess.
At any rate, comes from a man whose credentials are well known to Alaskans. Well, could we start at 9:30 in the morning? I know some of you, at least Tim Coulter, has to leave, and I thank Tim for coming. Tito Naranjo will have to leave too, and I thank him for coming. Kim Gottschalk will have to leave. Thanks likewise to him. I'm not being more flowery about this because you are, of course, going to be enjoying our hospitality later this afternoon. I think you can leave it to David Case and Rosita Worrell and me to come up with an agenda for tomorrow. And if Daley Sambo and Alfred Starr wish to lead off the proceedings tomorrow, if I may say so, perhaps the most senior and the most junior representatives at our little table here, they will be most welcome. And we will carry on perhaps until noon tomorrow, and that may very well furnish a sufficient examination of these questions for the time being. I haven't forgotten what Ralph Johnson said, that is that we ought at some time to consider alternatives to ANCSA and IRAs, that is what instruments might be devised. I think others have adverted to this, that enable us to consider a wider range of alternatives than those that have dominated our discussions last week and this week. And we might join with people in the lower 48 in working together on such an examination. Well, let's watch that movie now.
It'll take a few minutes to set up.
Okay, well, let's have a coffee.
It means that when someone does come back to a lockbox, everybody kind of has a feeling, yeah, let's be specific about her. And then,
you're right.
was the LDP, but yeah.
Well, I believe. That's
true.
That's what I mean.
It's not for your technological knowledge.
Not into the video in?
Well, it's going to continue.
The video in here.
In the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
see if there is a video. I don't know if this will work. I don't need too much credit to be picked up on it.
Here.
you have to have, the reason you don't have video audio is because you don't have an audio in.
You're just going video in.
Yeah, you got. If you guys are going to want audio, you're going to have to bring an audio port from here over to here.
They're bringing an audio port from here to there.
Oh. Sure, why not?
He should be getting, he should be, he's connected to this.
Okay.
I think
because I am the wrong color. Like there's very, very few white people that will be friends of native people. Any of these white people that are friends with native people, it's, you know, it's like a pearl in a pile of gravel. I think I like to say that my feelings are that our chairman, Mr. Berger, is like the pearl in the pile of gravel. That's it.
Yeah.